In the first reading today, St. Paul tells us that this is God's will for you, your sanctification. You talk to a lot of people and they'll just say things like, if I just only knew God's will. Now, oftentimes they're talking about their vocation or this particular thing, but in general is where we have to start with. God wants you to be holy. St. Paul makes that absolutely clear. This is God's will for you. Your sanctification, your holiness. God wants you to be saints. Now we can look at it and say, well, I'm already striving for that. Look at what I'm doing. It's like, yeah, and what does he say? Yeah, your deed walking like this way, but we beseech and exhort you in the Lord to make yet even greater progress. The reason for that is that growth in holiness never reaches a completion. There's not a point where you can say, well, I've done enough now. I can stop, or I've finally reached the end point. No, as long as you're alive, you have the capability to continue to grow in charity. And that's really what the holiness is all about. We look at the gospel reading today and we see the transfiguration, and while we're not being called to be transfigured, we are called to be transformed. To be transformed to be like Jesus. When you ask yourself, what exactly is holiness? It is to be like God. Just that simple. It is to be like God. And what does St. John tell us? God is love. Period. And so it's to be conformed to the love of God. And therefore, it is to have union with God, because that's what charity does. It causes union. And so that's what growth in holiness is all about. And so it's not just going through the motions. It's not just looking holy. Anyone can do that. But it's pretty obvious within a matter of seconds that this is nothing more than a facade. We want the holiness to be real. We don't want it just to be on the surface and make yourself look like you're holy. We want to be holy. And that has to come from the inside. That only comes through prayer. And so the first thing you have to ask then is, what does my prayer life look like? And if you're married, are you praying with your spouse? And if you have kids, are you praying as a family? All three of those are necessary. You have to have your own prayer life. For married people, you need to pray together. And if you have the kids at home, you need to pray as a family. It's helping one another to grow. Now, sometimes you might think, well, if I could just be in a monastery somewhere, then I could really grow in holiness. If God was calling you to be a monk or a nun, then yes, you're supposed to live a monastic life, and then you could grow in holiness that way. If God has called you to be married, it wouldn't work too well to make your house like a monastery. He's going to make you a saint according to your state in life, according to the situations that you have in life. So there are three principles as we look at this that we can consider. Well, before I even get to that, there are two ways that we can look at this. There's the part that we can do. So for instance, we can look at it and say, all right, I can set up times to pray. I can have my prayer life. I can work on trying to get rid of some of the sins in my life. I can try to overcome the weaknesses. I can work on these different areas to grow in holiness. But then there's only so much that we can do on our own, even with the help of grace. The rest of it is what God has to do. And so God will put us into situations where, if we're going to grow in virtue, that we have to practice it. So again, what we would like is for God to simply infuse the virtue into us. Lord, make me patient right now. Like, right. Doesn't work that way. He could do it that way if he wanted to, but there's actually no real virtue if he does it that way. Virtue is something that needs to be developed. And so if, for instance, you are an impatient person, God is going to put you in situations where you're going to have to try to maintain your patience. In a family, that's going to look like your spouse and your kids. Or if you're the kids, it's going to look like your siblings and your parents. Because those are the people that are right there. But of course, it's going to be people at the store, it's going to be people on the road, it's going to be people at work, whatever. God's going to provide all these different opportunities for you to be able to say, all right, what are the virtues I need to develop? If it's charity, well, there's this person who's really difficult for me. Then I need to learn how to be charitable to that person. It's easy to be charitable to the people who you like. It's hard to be charitable to the people you don't like. So he's going to bring some people along and drop them right in your lap, people who don't like you or that you don't like. And he's going to say, now, pray for them. Be kind to them. Be charitable to them. Don't have to be their best friend necessarily, but you need to be kind. He's going to set up all kinds of different things for you depending on what it is that you struggle with. All of us have pride. Every last one of us. If you look at it and say, oh no, I don't have any problems with pride, well, that's the first proof that you do. Way more than what you think. But the fact is, we all do, because pride is at the root of every single sin that we commit. So if you're committing any sins, you've got pride. So God's going to give you all kinds of opportunities to be humiliated, because that's the only way that we grow in humility. It's the only way we overcome the pride. But he's also going to put you in situations where your pride makes you want to do something. I want to be heard. I want to be recognized. I want to get my 2 cents worth in. I want somebody to notice. And then he doesn't allow it to happen. So that we can just learn that it's not necessary. Learn to be humble. These are not easy things. But when we look at it, these are the 3 principles I was going to mention a few minutes ago. 3 things that you can ask yourself if you believe. 1, do you believe that God loves you? After all, St. John says God is love. It's the only thing that he can do. So he loves you, absolutely. Do you believe that God knows everything? Because God is omniscient. He knows everything. Do you believe that God is all-powerful? He is omnipotent. Those become important because, 1, God loves you. Love seeks only the best for the other. It means God only wants the very best for you. 2, he is omniscient. He knows everything. Therefore, he knows what is the best for you. And 3, he is omnipotent, which means he has the power to do what is the very best for you. Now again, if you're like most of us, you'll look at it and go, well, if he knows that, he's just going to give it to me because he already knows what I need. Yeah, he knows exactly what you need, which is why he isn't just going to give it to you. Instead, he's going to put situations in your life where you have to be able to exercise the various virtues that you're called to exercise. And he'll give you the grace. Again, look at the gospel reading today. We're told that Jesus goes up Mount Tabor and Moses and Elias come to talk with him. Now, we're not told in St. Matthew's Gospel, I think it's in St. Luke's Gospel, we're told that they specifically talked to him about the death he was about to undergo. Didn't take it away. Didn't even make it easy. But rather prepared the way. And so God does the same thing for us. He'll give us the grace. He doesn't make it easy. He doesn't take it away. But he will give us what we need to be able to get through things. So, for instance, maybe he's given you some health issues. Maybe he's given you family problems. Maybe there are situations in your life that are just extremely difficult for you to handle. Notice that he doesn't just take them away. But if you're willing to pray and you're willing to seek his will, then he will give you the grace to be able to see what virtues he's working on and give you the grace to be able to cooperate with him. That's what he's looking for. He wants us to be able to work with him to be able to grow in holiness. This isn't always easy, and it's not usually the way we would want it to be. But how else is it going to work? Again, if you go on vacation and you're out in a beautiful place in the middle of nowhere all by yourself, it's just amazing how patient you can be and how kind, because you haven't had to deal with a single person. And you can think that you have all the virtue in the world because nobody has been there to test it. But as soon as somebody comes along who's frustrating, as soon as somebody comes along who gets in the way, who you don't like, who causes some kind of problem, yeah, that's where you find out how much virtue you really have. That's what God is working on. So that's why he puts us in these areas. And as St. Paul says, he wants us to keep growing, wants us to keep making progress. We might think it's good enough. God's going to look at it and say, no, it's not. Keep going. He wants you to love as much as you possibly can. He wants you to be as holy as you possibly can. He doesn't want you to be mediocre. In fact, remember he said, be hot or cold, because if you're just mediocre, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. He doesn't want lukewarmness. He wants us to be on fire with love. He wants us to be truly holy. That's what he's looking for. And so that's across the board. That's through prayer, but it's also through our actions, as we were just talking about. St. Paul made that very clear. We're to abstain from any kind of immorality, any kind of sin. So again, look at what the sins are. And really look at what you desire. Where's your heart? Because remember, Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Where's your heart? And I ask that because way, 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 way too many people tell me the same thing. I just want to fit in. I just want to be like everyone else. Really? Look at what they're doing. Look at the direction they're going. Is that really what you want to fit in with? We're supposed to be united with God, not with the ways of the world. That's the choice we need to make. Do we want to fit in with Jesus? Or do we want to fit in just with anything and everything else? If we want to be like everyone else, we're not going to be praying much. We're not going to be living a lot of virtue because we don't really want to. If we want to fit in with the Lord, then sanctification is what it's about. Growing in holiness, loving God and loving neighbor, because that's what it is. If we're going to be conformed to Christ, and he is love, that's what he desires for us. That's what he made us for. That's the only thing that's going to fulfill us. Fitting in with everything else isn't going to fulfill anything. But learning how to conform ourselves to the Lord, that brings fulfillment. That brings the peace. That's what God wants for each one of us. That's the sanctification that he's looking for. So that's the choice we have to make. St. Paul made it clear, and if you've ever got that question, I just wish I knew what God wanted, St. Paul answered it loud and clear. God's will for you is holiness, your sanctification.